time is a 10 to 6, and author and Middle East expert Avi Yorish is on the line. Avi Yorish, good afternoon. Haven't spoken to you for what feels like forever.
It has been a long time, but how can I possibly compete with Whiskers? I mean, you've got to follow a story. You're talking about sanctions and Whiskers. You had me at Whiskers.
No. I'm completely – that's not cool. We didn't mention Whiskers, and there's no cats driving. I am very interested in this whole development with Iran. I mean, we've been witnessing a whole bunch of developments over the last 2 weeks. The populace revolting, huge repression of the marches, and yet where does that leave Iran geopolitically at the moment?
All right, so let's just take a step back and paint the picture for you on where we stand in terms of sanctions and what's going on. About 10 days ago, Iran increased the price of petrol by about 200%. And there were massive demonstrations that took place. And then 3 days ago, the U.S. Treasury Department responded in kind. Oh, I should say even before that. As a result of these massive demonstrations, the Iranian regime shut down effectively the internet and popular messaging applications that are used throughout the country in order to disallow dissidents and protesters to communicate amongst themselves. The U.S. Treasury Department responded in kind 3 days ago and blacklisted or slapped sanctions on Iran's communication minister, Mohammad Javad Azari Jahromi. And let's take another step back and just look at what are these sanctions regime. For about the last 15 years, U.S. Treasury has been blacklisting banks, financial institutions, and individuals, and matching them to a variety of executive orders. For example, proliferating weapons of mass destruction, or terrorism, or repressing human rights, so on and so forth. And the Treasury Department not only targets Iran, but has state sponsors like Syria, Sudan, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, as being state sponsors of terrorism. And so the Treasury Department has been blacklisting these individuals in order to cut them off from the international financial sector, and specifically the U.S. dollar. And so it really begs the question of why. Why would the U.S. government decide to go after Javad Azari Jahromi? And I will be honest with you, I'm scratching my head on this one. The guy clearly doesn't have a U.S. dollar-denominated bank account. It basically is looking to raise his profile and basically turn him into a, PNG, persona non grata in the United States. But the truth of the matter is I question personally the sagacity of this particular designation. It makes sense when you're going after banks and companies that are abusing the international financial sector. I wonder whether it is the smart thing to do to sanction a minister of communication. I wonder instead, could the United States have essentially invited 100 dissidents to the United States and given them green cards? Or could we have flooded the country with Wi-Fi and allowed people to communicate in a more free manner? It strikes me that blacklisting this type of individual feels good, but doesn't actually yield us what we're looking for, which is a free Iran where we encourage the dissidents and those that value life and human rights over those that are really supporting death and destruction.
And given the current geopolitics, I mean, this last week there were articles about the Lebanese taking on the Iranian-sponsored Hezbollah group. There was talk about Gaza issues with Iranian-sponsored groups as well, and Syria. Are they feeling the pinch, unable therefore to fund to the extent that they used to, and therefore there's pushback? What's happening on that score?
I mean, certainly when Iran was aflow in cash, it was much more large. It was able to allow itself to really give out a lot more money to groups in Lebanon, in Gaza, in Yemen, and so on and so forth. There's certainly, I would say, the forces of light are pushing back on the forces of darkness.
Interesting.
In places like Yemen, Lebanon, and even to some degree Gaza. And this is where I feel that we in the West and the United States have a wonderful value proposition to offer this part of the world. We ought to, in my opinion, play to our strengths, which is really the values that we hold dear and really encourage and support those individuals, less so by sanctioning individuals that feels good but doesn't actually yield us the results that we want, but really actionable, impactful foreign policy that that strengthens those that share our values in places like Lebanon, Syria, Iran. We ought to encourage people to come for visits and give them either visas or green cards. Give them access to safe portals on the internet to communicate amongst themselves. Translate articles and books that talk about the values of Western liberal democracy and really play to our strength. It strikes me that that would yield us the result we want far more than going after individuals where there really is, the guy doesn't have a U.S. bank account. The guy is not traveling to the United States anytime soon.
Yeah, makes no sense. So a final question. Are the sanctions, not the personal sanctions, but just in general, are they containing the Iranian threat as we stand today?
I mean, look, it all depends on how you define containing. Okay. If your definition of containing is that it doesn't allow, it blocks completely Iran's capability or capacity to pursue weapons of mass destruction and the nuclear bomb, they're failing. Okay. That is not the point of sanctions. The point of sanctions is simply to, as my former mentor and friend Uri Lubani, who was one of Israel's last ambassadors to Iran, he always put it as follows. There are two clocks that we're looking at. We're looking at the regime change clock and the bomb clock. And the role of sanctions is to slow down the bomb clock and speed up the regime change clock. Yes. If you look at it in those terms, the jury's still out. But I would tell you that sanctions is when done effectively and when done correctly, it is a very powerful tool. We're seeing Iran have much less money today. The cost of supporting terrorist organizations like Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Hezbollah has gone up for Iran. And I would say that when used correctly, sanctions speed up the regime change clock. And even if you don't even look in terms of regime change, but you look at how do we support liberals, those that share our values, it is a powerful, powerful tool. But when overused, does not work to our benefit in the West.
Wow.
And who more than you in South Africa knows that? I mean, South Africa, when it came to apartheid, faced the sanctions regime specifically on the banks, and it's ultimately what broke the apartheid regime as a result of not having access to international capital. So South Africans understand this very well, but there's no reason to go, in my opinion, to really go the extra step and sanction a minister that has really, there's no benefit to us.
Wow, Avi, that was really interesting. Thank you so much for your insights. Look forward to chatting to you next week.
I look forward to it. Thanks. Always nice to hear your voice.